to Varlcast, MovieVarl.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and today we have a very special Varlcast. We're going to do a commentary for Cloverfield to mark its two-year anniversary of being released in theaters. And so for that, we have Nick, who is the owner and president of the site. How's it going, Nick?
It's going good.
We have Scott, one of our editors. How's it going?
Fine. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. And then we have Ian, an admin on our forum. How's it going, Ian?
It's going, man. It's going.
So, so we're going to do a commentary. What we're going to start at is in the beginning of the film. There's the stars that come down for the whole Paramount title screen. For most movies, it's going to be 4 or 5 seconds in. And it's going to be that first star that you see. That's where we're starting from. On our site, we'll post a screen cap of what that is. We tried to start this from the zero zeros, but the accuracy of it is a little bit questionable. So this is the best way to do it. So we're going to do a whole commentary from our point of view, as you know, there's a big viral for it for the movie. So we're going to be talking about that kind of stuff, what we saw about it, speculation that was before and after the movie. Hopefully give you some interesting insights, especially if you didn't actually follow the viral. If you did follow them, this will kind of bring back memories, hopefully, and make you remember things. Like just researching for this, we remember things that we kind of totally forgot about. It's been almost 2 years now, so some of the stuff's been over 2 years. So, are you guys ready?
Sure. Ready.
All right. So you guys can use this as a synchronization tool also. We're going to go 3, 2, 1, start, and then when it hits start, that's when you're going to go from that star on the Paramount title screen. 3, 2, 1, start.
Oh, you got past the hardest part. Durka, 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 durka.
All right, so...
Paramount!
So this is not a riff track, by the way, because you guys... It's not like
oh,
that.
Sorry, we're not, it's serious. Yeah. Viacom serious company.
Time. But yeah, anyway, so you'll notice that there's no soundtrack. The whole movie is kind of being done from that camera angle. and so this is made by Bad Robot, which is J.J. Abrams. He produced the movie, but it was actually directed by... do you guys know who it was directed by?
Matt Reeves.
There
Matt
we
Reeves.
Go. Very nice.
All right.
Do you know who it's directed
all right,
by?
All right.
I don't.
But do you know who what?
Actually, that's one of my favorite parts, though, is the Bad Robot, because you just have the footsteps in the background.
It's very cool. So,
dude, that actually scared me in the theater. I was like, oh my god!
A lot of people thought this was like, oh no, something's wrong. But yeah, so the whole point is that this is like as though, you know, the government seized this tape. This is supposed to be like a straight-through tape from a camera. Although there's an issue with the fact that they call it an SD card, but they treat it like a tape throughout the film. I thought that was pretty funny. Because an SD card doesn't have that whole thing. The whole rewinding thing and everything. It's like a little thing. People actually talked about that. This is... the first time we heard about this was in the... right after the Transformers movie, actually, had the teaser trailer for this. Got a lot of people excited. That's when a visionary by the name of Brad Johnson created 118...
Definitely a visionary.
1808news.com and the forum subsequently. That's where all of us kind of met, and we all talked about this thing. The first viral that came about was the 1808.com, 1-18-08. And it had these pictures on there of like the party that you'll see here, and then also the some of the subsequent aftermath of the monster attack.
I remember seeing this date, April 27th, even though this isn't the day that the monster attacks.
Yeah.
You initially don't know that, but this isn't the date they use the monster attack, and the date they use the monster attack also isn't 1-18-08, and I remember a lot of people being mad about that.
I was pissed, personally.
Yeah.
This entire scene right here was the very last thing that they filmed for the movie.
Really?
This is actually the day that Rob attacked Beth.
Exactly. Oh, Beth. Yeah, that's the one thing I was really mad about, because a lot of the viral kind of led up to the idea that it was going to take place on 1-18-08.
Right.
So that the fact that it didn't was kind of upsetting to me personally. I mean, when I saw this, I thought, well, maybe when we see everything, you'll find out it does take place, but you realize that it doesn't.
And then a lot of people thought that the sequel might take place on, I think it's May 22nd or 23rd.
The date that the actual thing takes
right,
place.
Right, the date that the actual attack takes place.
Yeah. And so, let's see, is there anything else that's really interesting to talk about? Oh, Beth, I love you.
All right, porno shots.
Yeah, I know. You know you like strawberries.
This part kind of annoyed me.
Why?
I don't know. Just did.
Oh, we missed the whole point about the fact that the Dharma Initiative logo comes up at the beginning, which is a reference to J.J. Abrams' Lost show. It's still kind of a little nothing thing there.
This part, this is when a lot of people threw up in the theater.
I know, this is pretty bad.
This is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's May 22nd is the date.
Yeah, so this is actually the day of everything.
And of course, they spoiler alert, they end up dying on the 23rd. So.
Wow. Well, I hope people watch this movie before seeing the commentary, because otherwise, like, what's the point of seeing
the movie
with commentary? But the parties, they're going to mention yours for Rob. One of the things they kind of gloss over throughout this is the whole idea that they're doing it for, he's going to become the VP of marketing promotions for Slusho, which is actually a company that is part of the viral. It was actually the second viral site after 1808, which is like a drink that's really popular overseas in Japan, and then they're trying to bring it over here. They kind of gloss over it on here, but you'll see actually Jason, his brother's shirt, actually has Slusho on there, which they actually had in the viral. They had MySpace pages also for all these main characters, plus a character we're talking about a little bit, Jamie. And the
one of the funniest things that was on the MySpace was, I don't know if it changed after the movie came out, but HUD's height was listed as like just his, like from his neck down to his groin area, because, you know, got munched, but...
Never noticed that. And this is when we're introduced to HUD, which a lot of people's favorite character seeing the film is HUD.
Exactly.
Another thing right here is there's the S right there, and then there's HUD right there. And if you take his last name, it says Splat, which is a foreshadowing into his demise later in the movie.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah, so he's not wearing the shirt now, but you'll see later. He's going to wear the Slusho shirt, which actually, in the MySpace pages, you actually see that when he announces he has the job, he actually says, I can get you a shirt. It's pretty cool. So they tie it in, even though we always argue that there's not a lot in the movie about the viral. There's little things that they kind of make nods to, which is nice. So this, I don't know if you guys remember this girl right here, she actually was, a lot of people were arguing that she was Jamie.
Yeah.
When people were trying to like figure out like how important Jamie was to the movie. Jamie's a character who, she had her own site, which, Jamie Loves Teddy was that the name of the site. She had some
JJ Abrams.
Yeah. So she had some videos up, which we can talk about in a little bit. And she actually, so a lot of people were trying to figure out if that blonde girl was actually her.
And I think that wasn't her. I think you only see her like passed out on the couch.
Yep. So
the only time you see her.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll show that great scene. That.
Oh yeah. I missed it. I never saw her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the first time I saw. Her, I was like, hey, that's Jamie. And I think
this is Marlena.
Marlena. She was in True Blood for a little bit. She's a really good actress.
This part's kind of creepy.
None of the music was in this when they were filming it. It was all added in later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
None of the music was needed.
Yeah. So that's what you'll notice throughout the movies, that any music that you see is all going to be part of the film. There's no.
I think this is my favorite part.
Soundtrack or anything.
Right here.
Really goes
right here.
Oh, this there guy. He is.
Here he is. Yes. I love another guy.
Hi, 11.
You owe me $11.
And that's the $11 guy.
Did you see the deleted scene right there?
Oh, where yes.
He was telling Rob about a bunch of Japanese pornos to go to.
Gotta love that. That was a good scene. I can see why they didn't add it, because it's a little bit maybe risque, or, you know, there's already so much of this party scene. I can see why they didn't have it, but they didn't have the whole $11 thing, too, either, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, no, they don't have it in here. Even in the deleted scenes, either.
Just the trailer.
That was just teaser material.
And
it worked.
Didn't they shoot the teaser like before they were finished shooting or something. Like, so they some of
the it's before they even started principal photography. They just grabbed a camera and went and filmed a bunch of stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Good. Yeah, you'll notice there's some scenes from the teaser. We'll show it to you. Have been changed from what you actually seen here. The Statue of Liberty head is probably the big one.
My friend said he's the vice president of Japan.
Very nice.
And I agreed with him.
So the whole thing with him going to Slesho, it's part of Tegru 2, which also had eventually had its own site, website, and it's a drilling company. And they actually drill for oil, but they also drill for natural resources, which is how they came up with Slesho.
Was
this nectar kind of seabed stuff. Which is interesting because it plays a part in the viral a lot because the first of all, they had pictures on the 1808 site, which you could flip. We mentioned those already, but they eventually put one on there of some Japanese guy with a dish that had a recipe in I think it was in Japanese, and, mm-hmm. and it was and so it mentions that stuff, and then also Jamie's character, who I think comes in, it's going to be later. She ends up eating some of that stuff, and she feels really good, then really bad. so there was a lot of speculation over whether that nectar stuff may have created the monster or something.
Right. And actually, that was believed until people noticed what's at the end of the movie.
Right.
We're not gonna tell you now.
Yeah, but that was because everyone wants to know. You know, the whole point of the movie is you're not gonna know much about the monster. They don't want you to know much about it. Because you're from the viewpoint of these random bystanders, so they're not going to give you too much information. So obviously that leads people to really speculate a lot as to how these things come about. And even HUD mentions it a few times throughout here that he wants to kind of know what's going on. He's like the spokesperson for the people, for the audience.
Yeah, and then there was that 4-piece manga that came out for the movie after it was released. And I think something happened where it came out to there's a theory that there are like thousands and thousands of clovers somewhere. Like, I don't know if it was at the bottom of the seafloor, but it was somewhere that they're just like kind of maturing. There's also the vibrant two monster theory that Beast brought us.
I was going to mention that. That'll be interesting.
No, man, I was convinced that there were two monsters for a long time.
I was open to the possibility for a while.
It's because they look so different in all the lights, because...
It's different. Well, yeah, the different lighting is crazy. I mean,
when we get there, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But the party's kind of the most boring part.
So. Yeah, there she is.
There.
That's Jamie.
Yeah, or someone said there was a nip slip in this scene right there.
That's Black Jamie.
That's Black Jamie.
Like your main dude, man.
That's probably the cheesiest part of the film right there.
He's your main dude.
The main dude comment.
Yeah, we can do.
That or HUD yelling, oh god, every 5 seconds.
But yeah, so the Jamie's character, like I said, she ate.
There's the Slesho shirt.
Yeah, so there's Slesho shirt there. But the she actually ate some of the Slesho stuff, which she got from her boyfriend Teddy, who actually is a activist working with Tidal Wave, and which is a anti Tegru 2 organization. And it's really interesting. So they talk about that whole thing about, you know. You see that a lot in virals, the whole, anti-group and then the corporation. So she actually ends up eating that, and plus, but he gives her a Slesho hat, too, so that's nice.
And Jason has a Slesho shirt on right now, if you see it there.
Yeah, there it is, yeah.
Good shot.
To the right of Beth.
Boobage.
There is no way that Beth's head can fit on those shoulders.
What's the guy's name again? Beth's
Travis.
Boyfriend? Isn't that the best name? That's the douchiest name
perfect,
anyone could ever pick.
Perfect for the character.
Yeah. I guess it could have been Chad. A little worse.
Or HUD.
Or that would have been awkward.
Yeah, like, my name's HUD, too.
It's your party. You can cry if you want to. His eyes creep me out.
Who, Rob's?
Rob's. Rob's eyes.
Huh.
When they get close, they're all watery and black.
It's because He's very in touch with his inner emotions.
He's soulless. That's pretty much it. Here's the part about the camera thing. So you kind of understand where those earlier scenes kind of fit into this one. Because he talks about the fact that that's his camera.
I think that was the first of three flashbacks in the movie on the video camera. Or if you pause it at the exact moment,
the first
there's
notification
the frames.
Of sex tape.
There's the frames from all the other movies. I think there's one from Beast from 20,000 Below. There's King Kong.
Oh, yeah. Like the little splices they put in there, yeah.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. Most people don't even notice it, though.
I was determined to find all those.
Now, Ian, you actually came onto the site after the movie came out, right?
Yeah. About a month and a half.
Have we talked about the site at all?
Yeah, we mentioned a little bit. So, like I said, we were part of the this forum that we had, which there was also a main site, which was kept up by Brad. But we were on the forum, and there was a lot of people on the forum all trying to figure out what was going on with this movie because it was so kept in secrecy. And so the whole point was to, try to figure out what's going on. And so, Nick, and Scott were all there relatively early on, that fall of 07. And then I know Ian came on right after the movie came out.
Yeah, about a month after.
And there were thousands of people prior to its release trying to figure out what was going on. And You just remember those days that something new came out and you'd all scratter and try to tell first.
Yeah, everyone wanted to be first. Oh, by the way, you've noticed the clock right there. I think a lot of people were looking at that kind of stuff to try to create a timeline of the movie. So sometimes they do it where they kind of deliberately give you times or locations and things like that. And then that was part of the two monster theory too, where people were trying to create these big theories about like the path of the monster and the timeline of the movie. And it was really interesting.
Do you guys remember the deleted scene from here?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he opens up. He pushes open the door and Rob's doing Beth in the back. Yeah.
It wasn't actually doing her.
Obviously. No.
It was still pretty funny.
Oh, man. Yeah,
there's
so,
a Slusher shirt. You can see it there better.
There's a much better shirt. Yeah, so, the whole point of him... This is the whole character arc of the film is the, the love interest and that's where the humanity kind of comes into it. Otherwise, it's just a big monster movie.
So, the clock says 12:10 now, and in the scene before Beth is in there, it was like 11:35.
Yeah, it was pretty... That's a long time to go past.
Maybe it's just a really long apartment, and it's like a half-hour track to get to the door from the kitchen.
But you see how deliberately they put the clock in there?
And now it's 10 minutes after.
Yeah, but I'm saying, they put it... It's prominent in
the
shot.
11 after.
Oh, yeah.
It's prominent in the shot, so...
See, right there is where I started disliking HUD, because I just... I was the one person who doesn't like HUD.
Yeah.
Why? Because it gave him character?
Because he kept telling people that about the sex thing. Blabbermouth.
I have to get presents?
Who's the girl coming out of the bathroom? Hello. Just kidding.
Hey, Marlena, did you know that Jamie totally ate Slusho?
That's what you should tell everyone. No, she looks familiar. The girl on the left, she looks really familiar to me. And I can never pinpoint it. I don't know if she's from something like a reality show or something. I don't know. Something about her reminds me of something.
What if Travis dies?
He probably does.
Or if he just leaves her.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Ooh. Low blow. No pun intended.
Best line in the movie. Good luck tonight, Travis. We talked about that, I think, before about did he already leave? Did he leave her at the apartment? Or was he still there?
I bet he left her.
Yeah, I don't know. She probably was upset.
God. Probably beat him.
Chica chica. I'm just waiting. The moment's about to come. I'm just waiting.
I used to have this entire scene memorized word for word.
Really? Why?
Oh, dude, you know how many times or how many scenes I had, completely memorized? Like, I had this scene. I had the scene later in the movie where they're, crossing the rooftops.
Oh, yeah.
I had so much memorized.
That's funny.
I pissed
off. I jumped.
Oh, when it happens.
It's when he puts his head back that the monster hits.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for ruining it.
All the suspense.
And boom.
Fail.
Here we go.
It's coming. Oh! Boom shakalaka. In the trailer they had it, and it was you know, this part's in the teaser trailer too, and I think wasn't the war different, or did they keep? I forget if they kept the war. They changed the war that you end up hearing, or if it was at a different point. Because like you hear the war pretty early on in the teaser trailer, it makes it sound like that right when this happens.
Well, it was a different shot in the teaser trailer when the roar came in, was it not?
Yeah, because it made it sound like that everyone was inside.
Yeah.
So this is kind of part of the movie I really like, where they show news parts, like they let you have other alternative ways of seeing what's going on.
Clearly a battleship in the water. A
battleship down there, yeah.
Yeah, there's the Tigris. The battleship theory that we had. So yeah, that's the Tigritu sign. You can kind of barely see it there. You'll see it better later. But that's, you know, part of the company we mentioned.
I'm still not convinced it was a government of some sort attacking with a battleship.
It might have been.
Still convinced it is. No one's proven me otherwise. And I remember they had a temperature under the New York One thing, and they took that out.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it was...
This part is so flawed, because when they show the explosion over there, there's no way that the fireballs can get all the way over there to where they are.
Yeah, magic. That's a pretty far distance to go.
Especially because they don't even show them, like, obviously they're going up in the air, but they're not coming very far, and even if they were coming at them, there's no way they'd be here this fast.
Well, it is just a movie.
What?
It's more than a movie.
I thought this was real.
They should have put, like, actual footage in the bottom left.
No, this is definitely part of the teaser.
Right here is pretty much what shot this movie off the ground. Because, like, everyone was already anticipating it enough, and they were already, like, tripped out at the trailer. But then, like, this part happened, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, all this movie takes place in...
I think they took out that lion comment.
No, it's later.
Is it?
Well, it's the part...
It's when they're in the store.
It's when he says it's alive.
Yeah, but remember the other guy, I saw it, it's a lion, it's huge?
No, that's him. No, you'll see it later.
The guy yelling, oh my god, back there was Brian Burke, the producer.
There you go, I know. And then the Statue of Liberty head, you'll notice, if you saw the teaser trailer, it looks a lot different. They really, obviously, had time to go back and...
A lot of people spent a lot of time proving the theory that the Statue of Liberty head would not roll down the street that easily.
Yeah, and I love this too, the whole everyone taking pictures of it and everything. It's
the camera and whatnot.
It just makes it seem realistic.
A lot more realistic, yeah.
And there's the monster.
Duh.
I still don't understand what part of the body that was.
It looks like it's walking.
Yeah, I remember people were really analyzing that, and they had like the GIF picture where it was, you know, it kept going back and forth, and they kept making the motion so you could see it better. But it was, people were trying to figure out, like, what the monster would look like based off that. And then, you know, there was, of course, that big picture, the whale picture that people thought it was.
When I first heard of the movie, that's the first thing I saw regarding the monster.
Yeah, me too.
So I was convinced that was the monster, so I was, like, telling everybody about the movie, and I'm like, yeah, there's this huge whale that attacks New York, man.
This is obviously when everyone made the 9/11 kind of references.
Yeah, especially when they walk out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of...
Kind of cloud of dust.
Yeah, and when they do the whole... Robot Chicken did a whole thing on that, too. It's very funny. You see, Hey Rob, I saw it.
Yeah, but you guys remember the other comment? The guy that says, I saw it, it's alive, it's huge?
I'm trying to remember that.
The frantic running guy, and they made fun of it, and it's...
Yeah.
So... And I saw it, it's alive, and it's so, like, a lion. Everyone thought it said a lion.
That was a big joke, yeah. That everyone, like... Cause I don't think anybody really thought it was a lion, but there were some people who did. But I think the vast majority of us kind of knew it wasn't.
Right.
But that was really funny. Like, it's just some huge-ass lion coming in from the ocean. It's a water lion.
I'm willing to bet that Rob is probably the most prominent word in this movie. It's there probably 20 times per scene.
Yeah, see, this is the whole 9/11 thing. I think people really kind of...
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what? 7 years later? Come on, get over it.
All this was made off of $30 million.
I know. That's
keep that in mind.
It's so hard to believe.
I know. A lot of it's, I mean, obviously, most of this is green screen.
Right.
Looks amazing, though. I just love how technology's come. Yeah, Marlena saw something, obviously.
I seen some shit.
Exactly.
She's like the little prawn dude from District 9.
Yeah.
What if it's just Christopher Johnson?
It's the big Christopher Johnson.
That guy in the window, I always thought had something to do with it.
Yeah.
The bald guy?
Yeah.
A lot of people said that.
Is he the monster? We'll find out.
Oh no, he's coming to
attack. I always love the dude running away.
Yeah, the big guy.
Yeah, that guy right there.
Oh, puts his head down.
I'm gonna go see if the donut store is down yet.
Oh, jeez. But it's interesting to see how, you know, what would happen if something like this would really happen in real life. As crazy as it sounds, you know.
Does anyone expect Jason to be the one to kind of like...
to be the leader?
Yeah.
No, at all. I thought that was very interesting. Because Rob's not at all. Like, Rob's...
Right.
The thing is, all he did was really get him under control. Like, no one really followed him after that.
Yeah. But Rob, I mean, like, Rob...
It's a good thing, too.
Yeah, I know, really. It's a good thing Beth called him.
Yeah.
Look, good timing. Yeah, see, he was eating people. So that I think it was really kind of ominous. You're like, you know, listening to that, and you're like, oh crap, it's eating people. It's not just attacking.
Remember, someone tried to tell me there was a face in the smoke right there.
Oh yeah, well, there's all
kinds.
I'm like,
bull.
There's all kinds, like in the poster, people were talking about there was, you know, stuff. Man, there was a lot of talk about finding faces or finding images, clues.
Well, it gets to the point where if everything is so hidden and you know there's a lot of clues, like you have to analyze every little piece of every little thing that you see.
And people did. I mean,
oh, yeah.
People were definitely doing that.
Wasn't there, like, I might have read somewhere that Matt Reeves is one of the paramedics right there.
Might be, I can't remember what he looks like. You.
He looks like Chandler from Friends, and he's got the really nerdy glasses.
Uh-huh. Everyone just kind of herding their way out.
I think I'd be moving a lot faster.
I know. I mean, I get that there's a lot of people, but man, I would be. I'm surprised it's not more chaotic.
This is one of the most radical scenes ever.
This is pretty cool.
It always reminds me of the Holocaust.
Oh God!
It just does. I don't.
Oh man.
A modern Holocaust.
Oh, of course.
Cloverfield's German. Clover's a Nazi.
He's the Third Reich. That Tegretu sign is really just a big swastika.
Then there's the guy filming on the bridge right there.
Yeah, that
they said might be potential Tegretu right there.
Yeah, there
they said might be potential for the second movie where they cross over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of talk about, you know, what the sequel will have in it. Will it be the same style? Will it be, you know, an actual sequel to the movie, or, you know?
No one's really heard anything for a long time now.
Yeah, I think they kind of put that in the back burner, especially with Star Trek being so busy and Matt Reeves doing his own thing. But yeah, so with the seeing the guy with the camera there, a lot of people are like, oh, maybe you'll just see the same movie from a different vantage point, which I'm not sure that's very interesting to watch. A lot of talk about the military point of view or something. Like, there's a lot of
there's the guy who looks like Teddy Hansen right here.
Oh yeah, so a lot of people were trying to figure out if he was actually in the movie or not, if he's just if he's just a viral character.
So I think it's right about here. That's Jason.
They said he was dead. Like, he went missing. So, but he was probably dead.
Well, Teddy was the one person. His picture showed up on 11808 after the movie came out, like a year after.
It wasn't a year after, was it?
I think it was exactly a year. Hmm. Or no, it was right before the DVD.
Yeah, because the DVD came out, and then that's when they did a little bit more viral stuff, like
right there.
Like that.
Didn't you find that, Nick?
What? No, I don't think so.
Missing Teddy Hansen.
No, probably not. I never got this either, because it's obviously supposed to be like the tail of the monster.
Yeah, but it's really hard to kind of tell.
If you look at the model of the monster, the tail's short and stubby.
thought it had a long tail.
It wouldn't really do this. Nah, not really.
But it's not whippy like this is.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. Arms aren't really... Nothing on the monster really is whippy.
Yeah.
That's the only part I didn't get.
Looks cool, though. Yeah, you're right. Like, he has a rather stiff tail.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to be like that at all. It's a movie. I think a lot of people are trying to also look here when they're running off, like, after the first one hits. Like, they think that you might have seen a little bit of the monster. But I never was able to tell. But there are some people trying to say, like, oh, you see a little bit more when the whole bridge comes down. But I didn't see anything like that.
Yeah, like right there, they froze it. I never saw it.
Yeah. Of course, everyone wants to analyze everything.
And then there's those other videos that they'd freeze it there and then you'd get Rickrolled.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone knows it's just Rosie O'Donnell.
Did anyone expect HUD to keep up so good?
He's not
right.
You know,
right there, the person who was running when he fell, it wasn't HUD, and it was like some dude they just wanted to use for like some footage.
Yeah.
And when he fell, it actually almost completely destroyed the camera, and they almost lost all the footage.
Jeez. Yeah, there's one of our first product placements, Sephora. I don't know, because you see sometimes in this movie that you'll see a couple times where they're very prominently in front of a name of something. Like, you'll see Nokia at one point, or actually a couple points. And I always wonder if that's product placement or just because it just happens to be there. I guess people wouldn't be looting, that makes sense. Instead of getting out of the city.
Yeah, this is really the beginning of all the dudes.
Dude, Rob, dude, Rob.
Oh my god, dude, Rob. Oh.
That's right, because he got the phone call from Beth, so he's pretty pretty out of it right now.
You can actually hear his phone beeping right now.
Because it's his batteries.
Yeah, right. It's out of battery.
What kind of phone does he have?
I'm just glad Rob's really, really good at prioritizing.
He drags his kids along with him. Rob, dude, Rob.
Man.
Yeah, you're right. HUD really kind of keeps up pretty well.
SpongeBob!
I always like to watch how extras do looting. It's kind of interesting. Oh, there it is. See, I really love this whole. They do this in District 9 too. This whole finding different vantage points to show something, so that way they don't have to break away from the camera.
See, there it is again—the whip.
Yeah.
And the tail on that looks longer than it does on the model.
Yeah, the model's just the model.
Maybe the model's off.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And I was surprised how fast the military got there.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, man. It's like, that is. I understand it's a big deal, but come on. Like, the military is a bureaucracy like everything else.
Right.
Oh, there it is. And you see this whole, like, you know, it feeds you little bits of it. You know, you'll see little bits of the monster here and there. See, there's the Nokia thing I was talking about.
And am I the only one that would leave Rob?
Yeah, well, I mean, because they... I mean, I understand they're friends and stuff, but...
Yeah.
They're a bunch of, you know, white yuppie kids. Like, they can't have that many priorities. Like, you know.
Especially after I saw this.
Yeah.
I like how it's Monster Attack on New York, SpongeBob.
Yeah, you know. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Isn't that the same thing?
Pretty much.
There he is, rubbing his back.
See, right there, it just looks so weird.
Yeah, he's got an itch.
You never really see those suction cups.
Yeah, you don't see them in use at all. And there's the little...
Get the feeling the parasites would sound like Beavis.
No, what?
Yeah, like, come here.
I love the sound they make.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a lot of talk about that too. I remember someone early on was predicting that there was going to be parasites.
Yeah.
And then there was even with the whale monster.
Yeah.
But then there was the question of whether they're going to be real parasites or whether they're going to be you know, like actual like babies of clover or something.
Little right. mini clovers.
That was something that we also had an issue with, was what to call the monster.
There was also the one where, like, the parasites were feeding off a clover.
Yeah, well, because there was the government site that they ended up doing for the...
Yeah, like, they were attached to clover, and they were, like, feeding off his nutrients.
Yeah, so that's something that they showed. It was really cool pictures they had on that site. Yeah. It was really, like, a bunch of numbers, and, like, I can't remember what the site was, because it was just a bunch of random numbers and stuff. But that was really cool. It kind of showed you what possibly, like, in a natural state, what would be happening.
Remember Cloverfield Files?
What was that? Was that a site?
Yeah, it was right before the DVD came out. And they had
all the videos and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was a really cool site.
Some behind the scenes stuff. I think they did more of that kind of thing on the DVD.
I wonder if I can do that right now.
Research. Oh yeah, and Neville Page is the designer of the monster and the parasites, so definitely, he was the one to confirm that they are parasites. They're not, you know, babies or anything. it's interesting, you know, especially when people looked at the design of the monster, you know, it looks different than what people kind of thought it was going to look like. But he tried to explain that they were trying to design it to be realistic in terms of, like, how realistic you can make something that's coming from the ocean that would be big. So it's interesting to see that they at least paid attention to details as far as what to do for it.
Right. Here it comes.
No.
Well, it's soon. The frantic man.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see that pretty soon. I think.
Wasn't there something about like they translated what he was saying?
Yeah,
they, was, like something about some demon coming back.
That was one of the translations, but when they ended up, someone else translated and they actually found it was actually him just saying he was looking for his family.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones. One was saying that there was monsters. One was saying that. The monsters that way don't go that way.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
And here is the...
Dude, this part was so radical in theaters.
Watching this, you could feel it in your chest.
Oh yeah.
How did the military get there so silently?
I don't know.
There's a tank!
I know. No, there's really? A lot of things in this movie where it's like, things come up out of nowhere. There's a little bit of that in this film.
Oh no, there was 1,000 people behind us with 4 tanks.
How did we not know that?
They used the effect that you're not really focusing on anything logical at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, even as a viewer, you don't like sense that coming. It's very interesting.
If anything, it's just one of those things that you notice, but you don't really acknowledge because.
But it's awesome to watch.
I'm surprised they didn't take up a more diplomatic solution. Try to sit down with the monster, solve his problems.
Try to talk to him. Well, this was during the Bush administration still, so...
Oh, okay.
That was probably the explanation for that. Let's go across where all these military people are shooting. Let's go.
Yeah, really. let's
not hide. Let's run right towards the monster.
This part was so cool, and beauty shot.
Boom. Love it.
So I like how this part makes no sense right now. Because the stairways go down and then to the left. And HUD doesn't even get down to the platform in the middle. But when he gets shot back, it's like he turns around the corner.
You looked way too far into that.
Magic.
The magic of the multi-take.
So you're questioning his no left turn, but not the giant monster?
Yes.
He's not Zoolander, he can turn left.
There's a huge monster, but how did he make a left turn?
It's pretty hard to believe that this is the halfway point of the movie.
It doesn't really feel like it.
It's not halfway until about... a few more minutes until it's halfway. But it's pretty close.
Well, the movie itself without credits was like...
Yeah, no, you're right. No, yeah, without credits, you're right. It's about halfway.
We just passed it.
It's a very short film, so...
Trust me, dude. I obsessed over this movie for like 3 or 4 months.
You slept with it, holding it in your arms?
I did, dude. Like... The first day I got it on DVD, like, I watched the movie, I watched the commentary, like, 5 times.
I actually still haven't watched I gotta listen to the commentary for this.
I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff.
Because most of the, I mean, I know a lot of what we know about the film, because we followed it, so, but, there's, you know, there's always good stuff to be found from listening to those things. Which is why we're doing one. And, Spring Street. See, there's little things like that. Spring Street. And I think people are looking at that kind of thing to try to create paths for the monster and everything in there. Some really great... What form was it? Was it Cloverfield? the other form that existed. I think someone had done a really extensive path of the monster.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really cool. And so these things really helped me out. And I almost feel like they did it on purpose to try to let people figure things out.
There's a clock again.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
3:15.
3:17.
It's only been 3 hours since the monster attacked.
Now, that might be something where... It's interesting to see if some of these were intentional or not, because that could just be a time that they didn't realize to deal with.
Would he have service underground like that?
I don't know. I haven't been to New York in a long time.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. They probably have boosters. You figure everyone's in the subway all the time. If it doesn't work, they probably have boosters to make it work. So here we get a little bit of the heart of the movie coming through again. It's like, explosion, explosion. I have to call my mom because my brother's dead.
I actually laughed at this part because I'm a sick man.
Wow.
I did.
This is like a heart-wrenching moment, Nick.
How many roads must a man...
Not really, because there's...
I'll never get to Japan.
Before you can call him a man.
Right. Oh, you had a bad day.
Play the chipmunk version.
Brother died in a horrible monster attack.
Oh, lovely.
Just to turn it around. And then there's the Nokia advertisement.
That's what I was going to say. They have the Nokia advertising again. Because he was looking through Nokia batteries earlier.
There's a newspaper. Are they advertising for newspapers?
Yes. And trash bins.
And pens? Is that a pen?
The new 2009 version.
Her eyes scare me. Her hair scares me.
She's got that look on her face like, dude.
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 Dude, no, dude.
Like, totally.
Just look at her hair. What is that? How did she get dirty? I guess the big ball of dust.
Yeah,
she's probably like sitting there with it, like all bored.
Doesn't Twitter not exist yet?
The whole, like, this is the scene where she talks about, why she wasn't supposed to be here and everything. The whole scene where she talks about, like, why are you still here? You barely know Rob. And whose friend was she? Is she Lily's friend?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You don't have to be here. The only person that you even have any remote connection to is Lily. And, like, she's just a friend of yours. Like, I don't understand. Like, Hud's his best friend, and then, Lily was dating his brother. Like, there's some strong connections there. But, like, she barely knows these other two guys, and she just happens to be friends with Lily. There's the map.
I don't know about you, but I'd be calling people. Like, I don't know, I'd just be calling people.
But for what?
I don't know, just to tell them what the hell's going on.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's on the news.
Yeah, but...
Like, to make sure that they're alive or something, or...?
I guess. I just think my phone would be out and in use.
I don't know. Well, I know Hud left his phone.
And I don't give this. Watch. Like, the camera light doesn't work. Oh, wait. Wait, hold on. Hold on, watch. Watch, it works when they're walking this way, but when he turns around, it, like, doesn't work. I don't know.
It's because he shuts it off because they think they hear something.
You sure?
They'll explain it, probably.
It's because they hear, like, the mice scurrying.
Right. Healthy.
Can't get ahead of myself.
See, I like this part, this whole thing where they, like I said, Hud is the person that's kind of
theorizing.
Yeah, he's like the voice of the audience because they're looking at, like, oh, where'd this monster come from? And, they're looking at theories and everything, so he's the one that kind of is willing to go there because he kind of has to, otherwise he'll freak out on the whole Superman line.
Those boots make her look so sassy.
Yeah, that's she's supposed to be. Good night tonight, Travis.
Wasn't this scene actually filmed in like some warehouse in like L.A. or San Diego? Because it's on the DVD where they talk about it. I just know it's in some warehouse and like
so
it's somewhere actually, on the coast.
So it's not really a subway? It's not a working subway? Damn it. The realism has just gone away.
Yeah. I'm sorry to our audience.
The angle for the shadow doesn't... Oh, wait. Oh, it's not a shadow, though.
Flaming homeless guy.
Did you guys see Billy the frequently asked questions on IMDb where they said, was there really a person lighting homeless people on fire?
I'm sure there was somewhere. I just think it'd be really creepy if someone came out. I love it. I found some people actually found him to be annoying. I liked him, but I went with somebody and she really didn't like him, HUD, in this movie, because she thought he was too chatty and stuff. Oh, I love this concept of having the rats all run in the same direction.
I think it's just kind of too, like, just, I don't know, way too obvious.
Yeah, the light did just go off.
But it's cool.
The whole animals in the other way of distress.
I know, but it's cool. I think it looks really cool.
It is cool. That, like...
Yeah, the light.
There's no light at all.
Oh, like, oh, that's weird.
This part trips me out. Not even a little. When the light comes on,
this is the creepiest part.
Oh yeah, when
this is the actual scary part of the movie.
Because he turns on the night vision.
See, the light's on right there though.
So maybe it only goes a certain distance, maybe? I don't know.
See, when this happened, everyone in the theater was like, "Oh shit." And I didn't know what they were talking about because I didn't see them on the floors. So I was like, what's going on? And then like I saw it a second time, I was like, "Shit."
This is a great scene, I think, overall though. I mean, it's just so well done. Oh, there it is. Oh. These things look so disgusting.
I don't get how more people weren't bit.
I know. I couldn't believe that HUD was. Look at it. How is he missing him? Like, I don't understand how that works. I like the blood on the camera. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
How many things were there? There was at least like what, like three or four, right? You trying to tell me three or four of those things can't beat up, you know, three of you? Or four of you? And this actually, oh, very nice. The scene, the part where they're shutting the door, that was one of the promotional pictures. And right. I remember people were kept trying to analyze, like, if there's, you could see something, but it was like the doorknob. Like, on the other side of the door, people were like, oh, there's something on the other side of the door. And everyone's like, no, it's just a doorknob. Obviously, HUD again. Very, very rarely you get a chance to see him in this film, so.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh.
Ooh, that is just the worst part.
Dampens your day, you know?
It's like a butterfly.
Because it's like one moment you're running from a giant monster, and the next, like, you got bit by a little monster, and it's like, well, the fuck, man.
Awkwafina. There you go. There's another promo.
That's also a promo for parasitic infections.
Exactly. In Mountain Dew. It'd be funny, he was like, takes out a Mountain Dew, like, oh, wash it away with this.
I always thought that, never mind.
Okay.
I think they should do a special Man versus Wild. How to survive a giant monster attack.
I'm telling you, man. That's something people need to know.
Man versus Clover.
I think it's really interesting, this whole question of, you know, why did it like HUD, you know? Like the, you know, he jokes about wanting to be a queen, its queen and everything, but I think it might be, I don't know if they're trying to allude to something or if it's just off, you know, just kind of throwing something out there. But it's an interesting question, like why it was specifically attacking him as opposed to the others, I don't know. Because he had a freaking camera. He's like, no pictures!
It was probably just something that drew attention because it had the light source on it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think they turned off the light for the night vision, though.
Yeah. But if you look at it, wait, the attack wasn't in night vision though, what? It was in.
Yeah, well, so the... wait. Oh god, I don't know, stop.
Rewind, hold on.
It was, wait, but during the attack, he must have turned off night vision.
That was very sensible of him.
Yeah.
In the middle of an attack.
But he still had the light on, because a lot of stuff was illuminated.
Yeah.
So it probably just drew all the parasites to him.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. At the very least, it at least has like a record button, like light, and a little red light. So maybe
yeah.
At the very least, it had that. So,
And it was also probably something that stood out.
How did they find their way into this thing? I don't...
It's on the side of the...
I know, but still.
It's very convenient.
It's just so convenient that it's where the army set up shop.
Like, I wouldn't have thought about going left. I would have just ran.
Well, it's just because they saw the door
and it was a way to get away from the parasites.
Yeah. And they're just smarter than you. They know the subways.
They've been here before.
Yeah.
They regularly walk the subways.
Yeah, exactly. It's New York. Okay. Everyone does that, right?
I think so.
Get on the subway, there's just a parasite reading the paper.
Flaming homeless people tend to walk to the streets in the subway, so.
That's true.
If they had one of those, they probably could have done something more. Yeah, the whole fact that they, very convenient, they like, oh, well, you know, we're right where the military is.
This is when everyone started, like, thinking Jesus was here.
Yeah, because there's, like, the divine light.
We found the second coming of Christ.
Little did people know when they went to this film that it was actually directed by Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Halfway through, it turns into a religious film.
Is that just, like, feet? Or was that, I think it was just one of those mannequins.
A mannequin.
First time I saw this, I'm like, oh my god, there's bodies on the floor.
Yeah.
That's really creepy. That's a really good shot because it's really creepy and you think that...
Look, they beheaded people and left them standing.
I know.
Why are mannequins dropped over? That doesn't make any sense.
People were rushing through. No one stole anything from them.
I don't know.
Well, is this a department store or something?
I really don't. It's connected to the...
To the subway.
Subways...
It's just so convenient.
Oh, she's not looking too good.
A lot of people jumped there, too.
Yeah.
This is also where they had one of the promo shots for the movie.
Yeah. Oh, military. Oh, military have cameras on their helmets, it looks like. I think it's where some of those theories came about if there would be a military viewpoint of everything.
Everyone wanted the second movie to be from their point of view.
I think that'd be interesting.
It would. It's another strong crossover point. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's winning. So it's interesting that even the military doesn't really know what it is.
This is the one thing that kind of pushed the PG-13 rating.
Yes, just lovely. But that's where you kind of start seeing, like, oh, maybe there's something up, you know, what's going on where these things, these people are gutted.
We're going to go kill Home Tree. I mean, shit.
Oh, there's a fight breaking out.
Why is there such a bright light?
I don't know. What's the purpose of that?
Because aren't there, like, people, like, inspecting things?
Maybe, but why is it everywhere? There's the first time we really get to see a nice dead parasite. How did they not notice that bite beforehand?
Yeah, really, I mean, she has her open shirt.
I know, and she's obviously not looking too great. I don't think you have to wait until you have a Jesus complex where you're having blood coming out of your pores in order for people to realize something's wrong with you. She's been... The power of Christ compels you.
Parasitic exorcism.
Exactly.
Take her to the light.
Yeah.
They're really
hard. The man of biohazard suits will take you there.
I'm telling you, man. Very chaotic.
Speaking of pop...
That's a great... Oh, that's lovely.
That's some radical shit right there, man.
Well, because remember, that was part of the trailer, too, and people analyzed that the hell out of that, too.
Oh, yeah.
People thought he was somebody was stabbing her.
I think I used to think it was, like, a giant rat dude next to her. I was like, oh, my God!
Yeah, there's a lot of people thinking that it's either something was, like, stabbing her, and that it was just blood. Yeah,
it's like they took her back there to just...
Kill her or something.
Take her out, yeah.
But that's very interesting. The explosion. That was always something people kind of figure out, like, what causes you to explode from this stuff? I mean, obviously you start seeing, like, the blood coming out of her orifices, but, you know, to have a full-blown, like, explosion, that's what can cause that? It's pretty interesting. I don't know if they ever went into the science of that.
This is the worst military guy ever.
It's like, okay, I'll let you go back into this monster.
We're gonna blow this city up. There's a monster on the loose. Good luck.
Well, remember, he wasn't. That was the guy that in. I don't know if it was the pictures or the. It was a trailer. His face was blurred. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, what the hell is that all about? And then in the movie, he's not. So that's really weird. I don't think anybody ever figured out exactly why that is.
Okay, if I'm HUD at this point, I leave.
I know. But HUD's his best friend.
So what?
Well, he gives him a chance. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go upstairs. There we go. Oh. I just want to say that Lily is pretty hot, too.
It's kind of surprising that after this film, none of their careers really took a big step.
Yeah.
I know HUD has... I saw him on a Comedy Central commercial for some Friday show. Yeah, Friday Night Stand-Up thing.
Yeah, he's a comedian. And then, Odette Yustman, I think, how you say her last name, who plays Beth, she's been in a couple of things. She was in the...
she has, yeah.
She was in that one, like, Omen-style movie. What was that called? The Birther Born or something?
Right, right.
Yeah, with Gary Oldman, so she's been a little bit, but...
And I know Rob was in... I've seen him on a couple of shows on really? Numbers...
Oh.
Numbers on CBS and Kings on NBC that got canceled. But he was only in Numbers one episode. He was on Kings a few, three or four, reoccurring character. But that's it, really. I don't know.
They're all unknown already, so, I mean, it's hard.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just one movie, even though it was pretty big, but... You know, to kind of to make that next step, you know, you always acting is such a especially in Hollywood, acting is such a fickle trait.
Actually, now that I think about it, HUD has a he had a part in The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard.
Oh, really?
A really, really small part. He like parachuted someone.
Nice.
And he was just there. Yeah, that was actually a good movie.
I think it's cool to see the building like this where it's very, you know, nice and proper, but then it's just kind
right.
of, it's not even, it doesn't matter anymore. It's
right.
The dichotomy of that is really pretty cool.
And am I the only one that thinks that this is the worst idea?
To go to the building next to it and then jump across
right,
to get her?
Right, yeah.
No, that's... I think that's actually pretty much the most logical thing you could do.
Oh, definitely. Other than leave her!
He loves her. He can't leave her. But
I really wish they just got there and she was dead.
That would have been very interesting to see how that went. Like, oh, well, that was fun. Let's go back. But just a little bit ago, he talked about some more theories and stuff and about the idea that maybe the government's in on it.
Right.
I think it's really interesting to, you know, again, people are kind of speculating as to, you know, how did this monster come about? Was it something that, you know, based on the viral, was it Tegrutu created it? Did they piss it off? Because there was some viral, if you remember, especially, I think it was right before the movie came out, when they had those news things, those, like, mm-hmm. video, news videos, where they,
yeah.
Where they actually talked about the Chuai station, which was a station, a drilling station that Tegrutu had out in the Atlantic, which obviously is where the monster presumably came from. And that it had been destroyed, and then that there were a lot of signs about that, the idea that this monster had probably destroyed this drilling station.
Because if you watch, the people are shooting at the, into the water.
Into the water, yeah. So there's a lot of speculation that, you know, either they pissed it off, they accidentally created it, and then what you'll actually see in the pictures that were on that site right before the DVD came out, it looked like they had somehow were controlling it, or... They had it captured or something like that, because it looked like there was a bunch of machinery down there with one of the monsters.
Right.
And it was really interesting. So the idea that maybe they knew this thing existed, maybe they were, you know, maybe they're harvesting things from it. I don't know. You know, who knows what the hell they were doing with this thing. I don't think they created it based on something that, again, the thing you see at the end. But the idea that maybe they found this thing and that they were somehow using it. Because I think you would just kill the crap out of something like that. Like if you saw that, if you saw it in the ocean where you were trying to drill, or even remotely where you wanted to drill, I would shoot the crap out of that thing.
A lot of people compared the monster to like a child that was just kind of angry, didn't know really what was going on.
Mom.
Yeah, I think that's what I think Neville had mentioned that too a little bit. Maybe the fact that this thing was not an adult, maybe it was still, it didn't really have a sense of what was going on. And, you know, it was wondering why everyone's shooting at it.
Right.
Why can't I rip the heads off statues? You know? And it's just pissing it off, you know? It's going on a lot more instinct than any kind of rationale. Yeah, trying to find a mom is an interesting concept, because then it's like, obviously there's something else out there.
Mama?
This is a pretty crazy scene.
Yeah.
I like how they just defy gravity the entire way up.
You know, a lot of people here threw up too.
They'd get such vertigo.
Yeah.
It's, and they did.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, the... Oh, man, that's a lot of shaking. I mean, the first time I watched it, I didn't have any problems with that. I know a lot of people talk about the idea that, you know, people got sick or didn't feel very well when watching this because of the shaking cam, but... I was actually okay the first time. I saw it again in theaters, and I had to... I can't remember what point it was. It was halfway through the film or so. I had to kind of look down for just a couple seconds, and then I felt okay. But it definitely... I mean, did you guys sense, get any of that?
Definitely, yeah. I wasn't too bad, though.
Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, I didn't sense anything. I went to the midnight showing of it, and I just, like, I felt totally fine. But the second time
Most parts I didn't, but there were like one or two parts where it just a little bit, but I never had any major problems. And I know like theaters actually put up signs saying that it caused nausea and whatnot. And then how is she not dead?
I know, that's what I kept. I thought she
it's
was
still
dead.
Her heart. I
don't think it's a heart. It's like I think it's a bad angle. I think it's meant to be through kind of like her shoulder a little bit, because your heart's more in the middle, like. To the side, right. But to the middle. Right. Like, I think this is meant to be like.
But it's coming at a diagonal through her middle. That's what it looks like to me.
Definitely, when you see her get up and the way that she's able to move around, it is surprising that there was not more damage to her body from this thing.
Right. And how does that even happen? Like, I don't get how.
She tripped backwards and almost straight down.
Where did that block come from?
The thing fell, so a lot of things probably came loose.
Yeah, but how did she get to a phone? I don't know.
You're thinking too far into it.
I just wish she had died there.
Aww. Oh, Beth, I love you.
Her jeans ripped, too.
Oh, God. In the theater, I was like, oh, my God. But I like how they don't show that. Like, you still get the feeling of it, but you don't have to actually see it. It'd be difficult to shoot, obviously.
Right.
Don't be a crybaby. You're gonna be fine.
I love that shot.
This is so cool.
Yeah,
they really do some. I mean, considering it's a handy cam, they do some crazy angles in this that I really like.
Right.
In this movie, they really, I don't know who the cinematographer was, but it's just really great shots. I think one of these kind of blinking shots were one of the promo pictures, and you couldn't really tell what was going on, and people people speculated all kinds of like monster things and.
Right.
It's just from one little blip that people. Try to overanalyze.
This is my favorite shot coming up here is when they look over to the monster from the roof and the F-16s go over.
Oh, yeah.
I think I wanted to see more of it. I was sad that they just kind of cut out in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But it's just... that was my favorite shot of the whole movie.
It is a beautiful shot.
That.
The CNN tower is cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just turns away from it.
I don't care about F-16s and... monsters.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I know a lot of people were kind of angry about a little bit, that you don't see enough of the monster in the movie. I mean, it's there all the time. It's somehow magically following them. But yet you barely ever see it. Or you don't see it at very good angles. Or there was some. I don't mind it. Like, I don't think it's really that big of a deal.
Right.
But I know a lot of people are upset about it.
And the movie isn't really about the monster.
Yeah, it's about these people and about their plight, and the monster's just kind of there for... Oh, yes. I love that. Seems they're everywhere.
They just added that in there because everyone forgot about the parasites at this point.
Yeah. They really just kind of randomly deal with those things. Like,
mm-hmm.
It only comes up every once in a while. But like, it's very convenient that it's always where they are. They must smell good. Imagine just how much artillery is being used in this movie. What kind of budget.
How much is being wasted?
Yeah, I know what horrible shots these people are.
Yeah,
it's like the boss is pretty big, and it's not moving that fast. Like, oh, this is a great shot too.
It's such a radical shot.
Yeah, see, it's well, the tail's a little bit floppy.
It is.
But you're right.
On the model, it looks stiff.
Right, but it doesn't. Well, it's a model. But it's also it doesn't seem as long as they kind of make it seem in the when they do the bridge thing. So that's a good point.
And here's HUD behind again. That's typical HUD.
Way to slack.
Guys, wait up for me, please.
I just love when he says that earlier. The you know, what's that? It's like something terrible.
Yeah.
What was that? Something else also terrible. Oh, and the movie's over. Everyone's safe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially her.
Yeah. That was one of the people that we think we confirmed was probably a survivor.
She hasn't updated her MySpace.
I know. I'm safe and I'm going away, but I'm still all depressed and pissy.
I think it would have been really funny if she updated her MySpace and was like, well, night kind of sucked. Monster came.
Pictures of like her and Jason in Hawaii.
Well, Jason didn't survive.
Hey. Remember exactly. He said he thought he was alive, like, out of, like, in an interview with the guy who played Jason. He was like, nah, man, I'm hoping Jason's going to make this a whim.
Yeah, because it's ambiguous. Like,
they don't really say, right, they don't say he's dead.
Yeah, but
no one really confirmed to die except, you know.
The people you see die.
HUD.
I didn't want to say it. But...
Okay, everyone's seen the movie.
If you haven't watched it, then come back. This is a pretty cool scene that comes up, too.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Again.
Boom! I like that. I wanted to like the way they shot it. I thought that when the guy closed the door, like as soon as he left, something would hit him. That's what I kept thinking. But yeah. It ended up.
This whole scene is so cool.
Yeah, though this whole it's the best.
Right there is beautiful.
What a great.
I love when he comes down and he takes the building with him.
Yep. He goes right.
He's a stealth bomber.
Does he really need to be stealth though? I mean, come on.
They need to surprise the monster.
I know. But man, that's the one thing
I love that.
Scratch.
They beat the crap out of this monster, and yet it somehow survives. That's pretty amazing.
It just slows him down. It never really penetrates his skin.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's supposed to be like underwater, maybe, and so here comes a crazy shot.
Well, in the lore,
oh,
the
monster, God.
Down there for
that—that's the shit right there. Nope.
That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, I think everybody. I don't think anyone was expecting that.
Yeah.
Getting dizzy.
Well, I mean, they linger on it for a little bit, because it's like, you know, the monster goes down, they're waiting, and it's kind of lingering, and I'm like, after a few seconds, you're like, oh shit, something's going to, oh god!
I just love how you see the ground right before it hits, right there. There's King Kong.
Could they survive a helicopter crash?
I thought this was the end when I first saw it. I thought, like, credits are going to roll.
I don't, does anyone know how they survived a helicopter crash?
It's well because then the pilots are dead, right?
Right, exactly. That's even worse. pilots die, but the passengers are fine.
Especially the one that had us
right here when it stayed on that frame for a while. I literally got out of my seat in the theater and started walking.
You thought it was over?
Yeah, and then they moved on. I was like, shit.
Because it lasts for a little while. That's why I said yeah. I thought it was the end. I was waiting for credits, of course. But especially Beth like surviving this. I mean, she had a freaking pole going through her chest. and then she survives. It's like Crank, you know. It's like you survive all this crap happening to you.
Yeah.
Rob Zaris went off right now. Well, and you hear also during the part where they're showing that they approved the hammer down protocol.
Right.
So it's a nice little way of kind of showing that. Since they don't really have contact with the military anymore, so it's a nice little way to kind of get people a heads up that some shit's gonna happen.
How is he holding the camera? I think it's supposed to be around his neck. Never mind.
Yeah.
I like this shot too.
It's very, like I said, very stylistic shots being done here. There's the plane.
Remember No One Important? Reimagining of that.
Oh yeah, it was really cool. With the that was really, I like that. He made like a sing out of it almost.
Oh no, stealth monster!
Exactly.
That's why they needed the stealth bomber.
Exactly.
This is a good tubes. Shot too, right
there's
here.
There's the tubes you really see good for the first time.
And you get like the breathing holes when he opens up his head.
Yeah, that was so weird. Oh god, and this part you know something's gonna happen, but you're just like. You know you're going to shit your pants when it happens. Oh, God.
Are those parasites? But, like, I don't
know. I just love, like, the goo dropping off of him.
I think you can see his
and you can hear the bones crunch, and you see the blood fall. It's so trippy. And then the camera goes in and out of focus.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I bet you if you pause that or, like,
it's such a trippy scene. Like, if it just stayed there and didn't, like, switch focuses, it wouldn't be as, like...
Yeah. I like how it's trying to focus. That's such a great scene. Such a great visual effect right there.
The only thing that was Clover would have easily taken Robin Beth out.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some logical issues at this point in this scene.
And Beth's healed to the fact where she can run around.
Exactly.
This wasn't any of the actors filming this. It's like some dude running.
Nice. And this is the gray shot.
Gray shot bridge.
Bridge, right? So that was something that's... we had a little spin-off game that they tried to make from that.
Bum, 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 bum.
They thought about doing a Cloverfield game because Brad Johnson had also taken the URL, the URL of a Cloverfield game.
Do you really just call it Earl?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. The URL.
Sorry.
And so of CloverfieldGame.com, and then Paramount asked him if they could have it, and so there was a lot of talk of them doing a game based off this, and they... that never really came to pass. I'm not sure what you'd be doing. I mean, he had done something where they'd started to do a spinoff but the concept is the same, where you would actually take pictures. That's how you would like get points, or I don't know. It's really hard to try to like make a game out of
kind of like Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, it's like how do you make a game of running away from monsters? You know, like if it was a game where you had to like attack the monster, that'd be pretty cool.
Right.
But that's obviously not really the point of the movie at all, so I'm not sure if they would do that. And then there's just the two. Bum, bum, ba, bum. Bam. So, I mean, there's only a little bit left. Oh, here's the part where they, you kind of see some of that in the trailer.
Does anyone know where the, like, nuke horns are coming from?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure they don't have those in New York City.
Remember and, like, when I used not, to think
it's not just a fire alarm. But
yeah. I used to think the scene was closer to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
That's just it's, like, dude, it's the end.
And they read the confirmation of the day and the time and everything. There's still speculation about, like, what year it is, since I think, what was it, 2009 was the year?
Right.
That where Saturday, May 23rd, is actually occurs.
Right.
But there were some people talking about maybe he thought it was Saturday and it was really Friday still, or, you know, like he thought it was the wrong day. Like he thought it was, like Saturday was the 22nd, so he thought it was still Saturday or something.
And right.
So maybe it was a different year. There's people trying to figure it out and then try to use that as a basis, like you mentioned earlier, of when the sequel would come out. But obviously none of that stuff came to pass, it looks like. But yeah, at that point, I was really mad. I was like, it's not 1808. I mean, I should have noticed that people weren't, like, all bundled up and there wasn't snow on the ground. But, I just...
Yeah, that would have been weird if it was actually 1808.
I can see why. I think they mentioned that at one point. That's the reason why they didn't do it that day. It's because it would have been too complicated to have to worry about, like, all that stuff.
Wait a minute, before we leave, grab some blankets.
No, you don't have to worry about that. Freezing would also be part of your problems that you would have, as opposed to just worrying about the monsters.
Right.
It'd be like the thing. Oh, there we go.
If you listen,
this camera is the most resilient camera of all time.
I know.
There's fire, but I can talk. They deserve to die.
Oh, I love you. And that's the button for the movie.
Oh, okay, here comes. Everyone has to watch.
Watch this, right of the screen.
To the left.
And there.
Right there. Pow.
Right before, yeah. Right there.
Right.
So it's right before he turns the camera, in case you want to go back and watch that again.
And we should probably describe what it is.
Yeah, I know.
People
obviously
believe it. Pow, there it is! You saw it! People believe there's something falling out of the sky, and obviously a lot of the speculation is it's the monster falling out of the sky, splashing into the ocean.
But there's also speculation that it could just be something that awoken the monster.
Cause right.
How big is that thing, really? You know?
Right.
So there's some talk about the idea that maybe it was something that was already dormant underneath the water, and that it's something that woke it up somehow and pissed it off and brought it to the shore. Because this takes place off of Coney Island, which actually, and Nick, if, you're a little more familiar with the area, I would imagine, but it's not really the ocean. It's like, it goes into the ocean, but it's,
right,
like, from the vantage point of where they were, it probably wasn't, like, directly the ocean.
Right.
It was more like the bay. Like, not
it,
bay.
But if you think about it, the whole theory that the monster is kind of a child, that could have just been the smaller version of the monster. I mean, no one really knows.
It could have been an egg or something that came down,
right,
of the monster, and then it, you know. But then where the parasites come from, too, because that's a symbiotic thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those are two different creatures that are completely crazy. Like, so the, right, so the idea that those somehow aren't connected, that, you know, if this thing came from space, you know, how did these other things come about, though? Those things, I can't imagine those things were just chilling on the bottom of the ocean.
Remember those pictures, though? Remember those pictures that came out where there's, like, the submarine-type things underwater on the seafloor, and they're, mm-hmm, like, what looked like the parasites surrounding it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. So they're obviously connected. So I can't imagine it be coming from,
well,
space.
The thing is, from what the picture showed you, like, if it's anything connected to the movie, then they don't live off of clover necessarily. They can survive without them.
Yeah.
So they may not be permanently connected to them and feeding off of them, but, like, yeah, but they do rely on them.
But the idea that the convenience or the coincidence that there would be two monsters, I mean, one small, one big, obviously, but there's two monsters that we didn't know about, and that one happened to be here, one from space, and then they somehow find a way to work together, like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, it just seems like such a coincidence that they can't be connected already. So, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? There's no confirmation either way. And here at the end, you have the roar. That's what they call it. The one actual song in the movie.
Right.
The theme, if you will. It's actually written by Michael, I can never say his name right, Giacchino. He's the guy that also did he does all the Lost music. He works with J.J. Abrams on a lot of films. Pretty much any film I think J.J. has done, pretty much he's been the composer for. So he's
same with Neville Page.
Yeah, Neville Page has worked a lot with him for designing creatures. Star Trek, same thing. You may have noticed the monster that's very clover-ish. oh, the red clover, if you will. Maybe that's where he comes from, was from that planet.
Yeah.
So,
hey, it was theorized.
So, you know, we saw that whole scene where there was some speculation that there was that whole clip where you hear, it sounds like Help Us, but if you play it backwards, it actually sounds like It's Still Alive. And so that's where this whole sequel thing comes into play. It's the idea that maybe after all this, the monster may still be alive, which given how inaccurate their weaponry was, it's possible.
But, oh, it's definitely not ruled out.
So that's where the idea of a sequel comes into play. I mean, I know there's some talk about a prequel, possibly, since people do want to know maybe where this came from. But it should be interesting to see if they ever do kind of go back to that. Because now that you don't have to worry about having the same actors, you know, time is not too big of an issue. Because you don't have to worry about, like, them aging and, you know, you know, that's a lot of times with sequels you have to worry about that, like people aging
right.
or not being able to come back, but you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So, you know, it makes it really easy for them. It's almost more like a spin-off since you don't have any of the characters. Unless, another speculation people have is that Rob and or Beth survived. And so there was some talk about that. What do you guys think about that?
I don't want to rule anything out. I mean, the odds were definitely stacked against them.
Yeah, obviously.
But, you know, anything's possible, as we all know, with this world.
Right, because like I said, part of that is what you hear in that that little clip at the end of the Help Us / It's Still Alive. You know, that could be from them. No one really obviously doesn't know who that's from, but that could be them talking into the camera or something. Yeah. And then there was an alternate ending, too. I think it's on the DVD that has the guy picking up the camera. Right, or like you see a guy going through the rubbish. All the rocks and everything. He picks it and he sees the camera.
And that was actually one of the cameramen just cleaning off the lens.
Yeah,
which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's some people who kind of like, if that was part of it, then obviously that area was mildly secure. But
right,
and it shows how it came about that they got this footage, because someone obviously picked it up. But I don't know. Very interesting stuff. A lot of questions still in a lot of people's mind. I know a lot of people were really upset with the ending because they felt like it wasn't closure, especially in terms of, you know, what happens to the monster or where the monster came from. Even, to, like I said, to a certain degree, the ambiguity of the characters' fates. But
I don't even argue that's kind of the point.
Yeah, and I really liked it. I really liked, because I think the whole point of the movie was the whole love thing between him and Beth and how, you know, beginning of the film, he didn't really understand, you know, he wasn't going to go for it, and then he kind of has to physically go for it throughout the film, and then the button at the end where they both say, I love you, I thought was a great ending for it. I really thought it was a very strong ending. A lot of people always want to know all this, the answers to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, what'd you guys think of the? I mean, I know we have some people even on our forum now that don't like the film, but you guys, I imagine, liked the film.
I liked it. Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
I obsessed over it for like 3 months after it came out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting when you have a very intricate viral campaign and to finally see the movie and to kind of you know how you feel about it. Like I said. I was someone who followed the campaign very strongly too, and to have, you know, certain things in the movie, you're like, yeah, that's really cool, and then certain parts you're like, damn it, why did they do it like that?
Right.
But
I know I definitely like the film, but I still think the viral was a little bit better.
Yeah, I think if they could have found more ways to tie it in, like I said, we were trying to explain some things, but there's a lot of implied things which I kind of actually like. The parts where he never actually says he's working for Slusho and little things like that. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, if they could have tied in even more, that would have been great. But there was so much. And the way that the viral came about, the way that it slowly kind of built, and you had all these different aspects of it. You know, it wasn't, you know, you had the MySpace pages, which was genius. And they were actually really good. And it was a great way to introduce yourself to characters that, you know, you don't have time to really get to know. You know,
right. The viral is part of the backstory. And so that kind of just made the movie make a little bit more sense than it would have just going in knowing nothing. But even if you don't know anything, the movie is still good, and I think that's part of it.
That's a really important part of a viral campaign is you want to make it so that, you know, people who don't follow it can enjoy the film, but people who do get a little extra something out of it. You know, we've seen that with some of the other viral campaigns like District 9 and, you know, even 2012 to a certain degree. You know, these very intricate viral campaigns that, you know, give you tons of insight to it if you want. But there's a lot of people who don't care about that stuff. They just want to see the film.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great way to kind of, for people who are looking for that, especially this viral campaign, because there's so much was unconfirmed, you know? Like, I don't think J.J. Abrams ever said that any of the things were official. You know, there's a lot of things like that where, you know, we didn't know if Slusho was real for a while. There was a lot of times we followed sites that weren't real. So it was really interesting to see. You know, nowadays with the viral campaigns are much more official, if you will. And so at that time, that was so raw because you didn't know what was real and what wasn't. I thought that was part of the fun of it, trying to figure out what was fake, what was real. You know,
and that's kind of what some of the new ones take away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of Sony's doing. But yeah, half the fun is figuring out what's real, what's not.
Yeah, and being that first one on the forum to be like, oh, I found this.
You know, right.
That's a pride thing there. But yeah, it's some that... you know, to consider if they're going to continue doing it like that or not. It's hard to tell because, like I said, they want to make the investment. So if you don't know if it's real or not, they may feel like you're not getting the investment out of it. I don't know. But that's JJ for you. He's always at the forefront. You know, people know he's done a lot of different virals. You know, Lost, obviously. He's done some viral stuff for that. So they actually won for the Emmys. He won the Emmy for they have like an actual viral campaign like award for interactive media or something. So he actually won that for Dharma Initiative, which is part of Lost. So obviously the guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
Well, there you go. So that's Cloverfield. Credits are still rolling. So.
And obviously the whisper static message is coming up.
That's right. It's at the very end, yeah.
Yeah, which, and this is a long credit scene.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how many, you know, for a movie that didn't cost that much, there's a lot of credits.
That's true.
And all these musics that so you see are all actually things that are just in the film. They weren't like, you know, soundtrack. There's that roar. See, Giacchino, is that how you say his name?
I don't know.
There you go. Clips from SquarePants. There you go. Yeah, see, there's the stills that Ian was talking about.
Yay.
We'd like to thank Kodak for...
Yeah.
I'd like to thank J.J. Abrams for having an incredible mind.
Yeah. See, why can't you just put all these, like, horizontally? Like, why do you have to have each one, like... It would have saved you time in, like, space.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I think the roar, the whisper is coming up. Here it is.
It's at the very end. I think I waited. I can't remember if I waited the first time or not.
I know, I did. But I still think that it's supposed to be It's Still Alive backwards, because I don't... I hear, like, that's us, and it just sounds like it's supposed to be played backwards.
I think it's... I think it'd be really amazing if it really actually meant was supposed to be both, because that's pretty hard to do, to find something that means those two different things, but they make sense, you know. Okay, but the fact that someone, I mean, like I said, maybe because people like you who didn't, you know, they didn't believe that it was help us, you know, maybe they, that's what I'm looking for. Maybe they actually researched it because they thought that doesn't sound like help us, you know.
So
that's why they did the whole backwards thing to try to figure it out. All right, that's it. So obviously the movie's over. So thank you for joining us, everyone. You may have noticed that Scott had to bail for technical issues. So
what's new?
I know, really.
I feel so bad for him.
I know, because it's happened a lot to him.
This one's for you, Scott.
I know. We'll try to get him on another one. We'll try to do more of these commentaries for you guys. I know District 9 is probably the big one that we're looking at doing next.
You can also do Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah. So we'll look at some other ones to try to time these out to have them posted on a day that makes sense for the movie or something. I don't know. Or you may just do them randomly.
Yeah, just for fun.
Just for fun. But we'll try to do ones that actually have viral.
And, maybe we can get more people. Who knows?
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless.
Let us know what you think of this. You know, when you listen to it, if you listen to iTunes, we'll have this on iTunes. We'll also obviously have it on our site. So comment, let us know what you think of it, what you want us to change, what you didn't like, et cetera, et cetera. This should be up on January 18th to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of Cloverfield.
It's incredible it's been 2 years already.
No, it's crazy.
it's ridiculous.
All right, so thanks, Nick and Ian, for joining me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you.
It.